Podcast Network Asia.
Hi everybody, I'm Edric.
I'm Joy.
Welcome to
Family Unboxed,
where we talk about everything family, from the light stuff, the fun stuff, to even the heavy and controversial stuff. Because our desire is to encourage families and see the world changed
one family at a time.
Hello everybody, welcome again to another episode of
Family Unboxed.
And interesting story, before we got started with this recording, I came from a conversation with one of our children who will remain unnamed for now. And as I was talking with that child, you know, my wife and I just talked about it with her actually now. And we realized how, you know, parenting is really not a silver bullet. It's not like a one-time, big-time, one-shot. And once you do that, you've got it all figured out. It really is a journey. And we're so grateful that we have the privilege of being able to journey with our kids, to have time. And my wife was telling me how she's so glad that I was there to be able to respond to that particular discussion with that particular child, because where else would they turn? So it is on the same note that we welcome you once again to Family Unboxed, and it reminded us of the heartbeat of why we're doing what we're doing. And we do this because, you know, as we journey together with you all, we desire and pray that we're able to help each other in the journey to be better parents and unbox all these things about parenting that we quite frankly don't know, but we're learning together. And we learn ultimately from Joy and I, we learn ultimately from God's word. And this next topic we're going to unpack with you has a lot to do with that as well. You know, what if your kids are developing convictions? What if, you know, you want them to have the same faith as you, which is very true for, let's say, Joy and I. We want our kids to embrace the same faith, not because of wanting them to have that same faith just cause, or just so that we're united in it, but because of what it does and the truths behind it and how really it is, in our view, the only way to go. So as we share this with you guys, you know, I'm going to unpack some questions with my wife, who's done a lot of thinking behind this. So honey, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, how important is it that we're able to do this for our children, especially in this day and age?
First of all, I think when our children are very little, we make assumptions that whatever we believe or whatever we pass on to them in terms of faith is going to be something that they naturally embrace. However, as our children start to get older, by the time they hit about 9 years old, for example, they start to have questions like, will I really believe the same thing? Is it believable? Is it something that is really true? How do I know? And that's great, because we never want to raise our children to be forced into a belief system. It really should be something that comes out of conviction. And I remember how in the past, when this happened with our older sons, at first I was concerned and I was a little bit incredulous, because my assumption really was that, you know, when children grow up in a God-fearing home where Christianity is lived out authentically, then maybe they would naturally desire to follow God and love him. However, I remember a conversation with my then 9-year-old son, Eden, who surprised me with difficult to answer questions about the origin of life, the believability of a God we cannot physically see, as well as inconsistencies that he identified as, example, the love of God and the acts of God. One such question was, you know, why would a loving, all-knowing God create people who will eventually end up in hell?
You know, and this is what happens when you homeschool. the downside / upside of homeschooling, They ask hard questions. Go ahead, honey. Carry
but on. I think all children ask hard questions. It's just that sometimes they don't have the opportunity to sit down with somebody and vocalize these questions. But actually, all of us go through these seasons when we have questions about whether God really exists. Is it something believable? Are there objective truths that we can bank our lives on? Or is it just like, truth is free for all. Whatever is your truth is good for you. And whatever my truth is good for me. But even that statement alone is actually contradictory.
Right. And, you know, I just wanted to jump in a little bit right now, because on the tone that we set up as we introduce this whole discussion right now, there are these magic moments. And I don't think we've highlighted the importance of this in the parenting journey through our past episodes. And, you know, it's so important to be available for our children in these magic moments, because the reality is, as Joy said, our kids will ask hard questions. So the hard question for us is, who's there to answer them, right? And it should be, ideally, us parents. And if we don't have the response that we get it, we give it to them. So I'm just blessed again that that happened to me earlier. And now with this particular discussion about faith and these hard questions, it's so important that not only are we present, but we have something to say. So let's hear, Joy, how you know handle those things as
right. Our kids. At first, I reacted, you know, with heightened emotion when he had those questions, because in my mind, I think I was feeling a little bit insecure as a parent, like wondering why is he thinking these things. When I feel like, at least in my mind, I've taught him a lot about the Bible, about truth, and I was trying to discuss with him at that point. I remember we were seated in a kitchen, and I was presenting to him evidences from history and science, as well as stories of transformed lives and my personal testimony. And I actually thought I presented a compelling case in favor of God's existence and character. But after several hours of dialoguing back and forth in the kitchen, he tearfully responded with, "You know, Mom, that is your faith.
I remember that.
And I need to discover these things for myself." And I could see how tormented he was by the doubts he was wrestling with. As a mom, I hoped to fix it in a matter of hours, yet he was absolutely right. He was on a journey of his own, and I needed to respect that. So the best that Edric and I could do was to answer the questions as they came, but to exert great patience and understanding in the process, not rushing him through to the conclusions we wanted him to have. And we had to love him through this time in his life and, of course, pray really hard. You know, for the first time, I actually understood what older parents referred to when they asserted, you need to be parenting on your knees. And, you know, the truth is parenting is humbling. Parenting makes us realize that we absolutely need God to transform the hearts and minds of our kids. So if we aren't praying for our kids regularly, then, you know, I've observed that, one, we are parenting on our own power, and eventually we're going to realize that it's not enough. You know, our power is not enough. And two, we don't really know what our kids are dealing with, not the behavior stuff on the outside, because we see that, but the inside stuff in their hearts and minds and the issues and pressures they are facing. And three, you know, we forget that there are spiritual forces at work and our children are vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. And so that moment, you know, sitting in the kitchen with our son, Eden, was the genesis of a four-year-long process. It was a kind of quest in his life. Thankfully, he didn't become a rebellious teen when he transitioned into young adulthood. In fact, he remained studious, polite, and kind, but from time to time, he would ask, you know, his questions, and some of them were really hard, the kind that would make me feel, to be honest, inadequate to answer. So I remember being stuck with him in the car one afternoon while waiting for Edric to finish a meeting at a restaurant, and he challenged me with, Mom, what if there is an alternate reality that is controlling this reality? And that alternate reality doesn't operate with the same laws of logic that we understand here. And that alternate reality is simply feeding us with what we are supposed to believe here. And if that is the case, Mom, then how can we be sure that anything we experience and seek to know here in this reality can be true and trustworthy? Okay, to be honest, it took me another 3 hours to give a decent answer to his question.
Again, homeschoolers and their questions.
Yeah, because I wasn't.
I remember that was quite, you know, out of this world.
Yeah, we were waiting for you.
Are you kidding me, right?
We were waiting for you because you were at a restaurant. And so I was having this conversation with him. And yeah. I wasn't allowed to use the laws of logic that one normally implores to lead a person from point A to point B, because he said specifically, Mom, that alternate reality does not operate with the same laws of logic that we use here. However, I was able to ask him a question that made him think about the validity of his own question. So finally, I said, "Okay, let me ask you something." Because I even asked him, "Do you believe that I'm true right now? Do I exist?" He's like, "I'm not sure, Mom. I don't know. I mean, how can I really know for sure?" So at one point, I just said to him, "Are you willing to?" He was basically talking in the metaphysics level, you know, which, to be honest, is really beyond me. This is what happens. It's true. When you homeschool your kids, they become way smarter than you are. So I finally asked him a question. I said, "Are you willing to abandon all that you have learned and studied, what you have experienced, known, encountered with your senses within this present reality, and what has been validated substantially by others and evidence, to base your life on a theory that, to be honest, you can't really articulate very clearly? And it's the equivalent of concluding that a 10-headed creature with 10 legs and 10 arms that flies in the sky is real just because you can conceive of it, even though no one has ever validated that it exists. Does a person's capacity to imagine an infinite number of possibilities and even alternate realities automatically discredit the laws and things that are knowable and provable in this present reality?" So, whew, you know, he finally admitted that if he could imagine such a fantastical alternate reality, then why couldn't he accept what was already knowable? And once we got to this point, we were able to look at what was knowable and weigh the arguments for and against God. And, you know, this conversation actually happened 3 years ago. And since then, you know, Eden's faith convictions began to grow. He read through his Bible numerous times. He looked at the evidences for the resurrection of Jesus, read books written by former atheists like Lee Strobel, looked extensively into world religions and cults to compare their truth assumptions, as well as explored various philosophical points of view during discussions with his older brother Elijah and, you know, Edric and myself. 3 years ago, he decided that God was real and faith in God was the most reasonable of all, but having done all his research, and it wasn't something that, you know, we could force upon him. He had to come to that point. And then he began leading other young people through weekly Bible studies, which he also explained actually helped him to grow more in his faith. However, what really inspired me lately, and this is why we wanted to talk about this, was we were sitting having another conversation at the dining room table. And see, Edric was there as well. We were also talking to Elijah, and we were chatting about some of the arguments that young people use today to conclude that God doesn't exist. And it was such a lively discussion. We were having a lot of fun with our older sons, who are presently engaged in dialogues with friends dealing with doubts, doubts that are compounded by the reality is the hypocrisy of some Christians in their lives and the bombardment, of course, of a lot of secular worldviews through different media channels that they engage in. And my sons were trying, of course, we were all trying our best to understand their peers while directing them without judgment. And our children actually found the questions that these young people were asking very relevant as a means to equip themselves, to solidify their own convictions and to help others form solid convictions. And then when everyone had vacated the table and Eden and I remained, I asked him very nonchalantly, I said, you know, son, what helped you? I mean, you used to struggle very similarly. And his reply really brought me to tears. You know, he paused for a bit and he turned to me, he said, Mom, it was the love of you and Dad.
And she's tearing again now. This is so precious.
He said,
my
Mom,
wife
it was
very raw.
It was Dad's love and your love for me. Then he reached over to hug me as he got choked up himself. And he added, and you know, you didn't rest until you helped me to really know Jesus and you were intentional. You know, this conversation was the highlight of my year, 2020, and now 2021.
I thought the conversation with me was your highlight.
You're a different highlight. Okay, highlight with our children. Okay.
One of the major highlights.
Well, 3 years ago, I really desired to see a breakthrough in Eden's life. And I was concerned as a mom, and a part of me really felt helpless also because I had to commit him to the Lord and to pray for him. Be there for him, you know, walk alongside him and point him towards the truth when he asked. However, it wasn't forcing him to be a Christ follower that made him become one. It was living like a Christ follower by loving him. And, you know, I think Edric and I, by God's grace, we were intentional about guiding him. But at the end of the day, what mattered most to him was what he said. It was our love. And, you know, there are several verses in the Bible. And I think that this is where we make mistakes as parents. And maybe if you're a Christian and you're listening to this, this is where we mess up. The Bible says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's in 1 John 4, verse 7 and 11. And in John 13, verse 35, it also says, By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We can make all the compelling cases for God, prove the evidence, show the evidence for why our children should believe in him, why they should follow him, why they should commit to obeying him.
Why that life makes sense, as you were saying earlier.
However, at the end of the day, if they don't see love, if they don't see it in a tangible way, if it's not God manifest to them because they don't live in a loving home or there's inconsistencies in the way that Christians say that they are Christians but don't actually live it, I think that's really what turns away our children from the Lord at the end of the day. And ultimately, it isn't knowledge that wins people in our family over to Christ. So while it counts to be able to answer questions sensibly and properly, really it's the love of God that's manifest in us that makes him unquestionably tangible and real to our children.
Hold on, honey. Before we continue on with the show, I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering how we collab with brands here in Family Unboxed. And with that, our lovely listeners, we use Podmetrics.
Yes. So if you have a podcast, sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the code UNBOXD, one word, all caps. And that's one way you can help support the show as well.
Oh, and if ever you're an advertiser who wants to collab with Family Unboxed, head on over to advertiser.podmetrics.co and fill up the form. Again, that's Podmetrics,
the easiest way to monetize your podcast.
Right, we were just dealing with a case earlier of a family where one of the children in a breakthrough moment said that the reason why he was resentful or harsh or different and even indifferent towards his mom is because of hypocrisy. If, you know, we say all these things, we teach all these things, they don't do it, but what will help smooth over those things? And that's what the Bible says, love covers over a multitude of sins, right? Is love. And so the mom lovingly asked her forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that gesture actually broke the ice. And we feel that the family is on the way to amazing restoration. And so this is so true, you know, and I've been able to perform the wedding of a former atheist who married this woman. It was such a powerful wedding because he chose to marry her, even if he knew that she was recovering from HIV and they might not ever be able to have intimacy. You know, that's so uncommon for a man. So I share this because, you know, when I asked him, what happened as an atheist? You know, you were solid. You know, you had all your thoughts. He said, you know what? They tried to talk to me about all these reasons why I should believe it, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, he said that, you know, what really, really impacted me was how they cared about me, how so sincere it was, how different it was. And that's what opened up his heart, that led to opening up his mind. And now he's also following God. He loves God and he understands fully why. And they have an amazing marriage. So this again is so powerful. I wanted to just jump in here. And I love what Joy was sharing and how important that is for us to remember that it is love that will help ultimately guide even the minds of our children and our family and the people around us.
Yeah. So, you know, to the parents who are listening to this, I think we should not be disheartened when our children go through seasons of doubt and questioning. I think it's an opportune time for us to demonstrate to them how real God is by loving them, understanding them, of course, being there for them and coming alongside them to answer their questions. And we also need to find out what they are watching, doing online and listening to, as well as who they are listening to. Every day, our children are exposed to worldviews that are anti-God through media, even influencers, peers, shows, and institutions that are not aligned with a Christianity. And are we aware of these subcultures infiltrating our homes? And are we helping our children to discern the messages that they are taking in? And to the young people, if you are listening to this, you know, my encouragement to you is this, and this is our encouragement to you guys, continue to ask your questions. You never want to settle for a belief system that is inherited, cultural, forced upon you, expected of you, or simply just taught to you. The truth is, well, the reality is belief in God, while characterized by religious practices, should not be a religion. It should be a relationship. And that's what we want our children to understand. This is not something that should just be cultural or inherited faith. And if you and I haven't gotten to that point, it makes sense to investigate all the claims on either side for and against God. But we need to be fair. Sadly, and we see this with a lot of young people, you know, we often make judgments about God without giving him a fair trial. And if we have never read through the Bible through and through, how can we quickly conclude that it's outdated, irrelevant, contradictory, and untrue? Or if we have read through it, why do we cut and paste what we like in it to suit our lifestyle choices? In other words, we have already made up our mind about God. When it's not convenient, morally speaking, then there is no God. And sometimes we let circumstances determine whether God is or isn't. Like being in a broken family or experiencing hardship, betrayal, abuse, or loss. These are circumstances that can make us question whether God is real. And we can also make conclusions about God on the basis of what is popular today. So here's the thing, right? Whatever worldview you and I ultimately choose will determine how we interpret, understand, and make critical life choices. And critical life choices have critical consequences. Therefore, it makes sense for us to seek out the truth in a manner that is evidence-based. We would never want to, for example, okay, convict someone of a heinous crime without being absolutely sure that they committed the crime. Similarly, how can we ignore all the evidence for faith out there just because someone online made a seemingly intelligent statement about how ridiculous it is to believe in God, or because we have dealt with painful loss or been disappointed by people, by life? Let's look at the claims of God and the claims of those who are anti-God objectively, reasonably, and then make conclusions about what is more believable. We owe it to ourselves. You know, and our children owe it to themselves. So we should encourage them to ask questions. Why? To be wrong about God will have eternal consequences. And to be right is to discover a life of purpose, hope, peace, and joy.
Right. So babe, can I ask you a question? You know, you're talking urgently about how important it is to have a relationship and how Eden shared that love is ultimately what convinced his mind, if you will. But you're also now talking about how important it is to ask hard questions and make sure that, you know, if there are parents here who are wanting their kids to do the right things, part of that is making sure that they have convictions, they have faith. And if they don't have that, then it's going to be dangerous. But for them to have that, parents themselves need to be anchored on faith. So how do you balance this whole, well, it's the relationship, it's the love that helps people versus, you know, reasoning with them and helping them have to figure it out for themselves to see if this is a faith or a conviction they want to develop?
Yeah, I think it's both, right? So first of all, when we've talked about this in the earlier podcast, we can't just teach or influence our children without relationship. Relationship is the foundational part where they need to see that they're unconditionally loved, that we really do like them, we enjoy being with them, that they are important to us, we make time for them. So that builds the relationship. And that relationship gives us the license, if you will, to now speak to their hearts and minds and to influence them. So as we build that relationship, then we balance it out with also teaching and training them. And our teaching and training must always be done in a loving, non-judgmental way. But I think it's good for our kids to know that we are concerned about their faith, that it is important to us. And it's actually our responsibility. And I don't know if we've ever shared that verse, but in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4-7, it says that we are to love the Lord our God first, and then we are supposed to teach this to our children. So it starts with us, and then we're supposed to pass it on to our kids. So it's both, right? It's both the letting them know that they're absolutely loved, and then also being intentional about the things we teach them. And for me, at certain points, I didn't feel like I had the capacity to answer all the questions, but I did research and I also read lots of books. And some of the books I read, you know, I just want to share it with you guys, and I encourage my older sons to read them. Some of them were books like I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Norman Geisler and Frank Turek, or Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case by Frank Turek, or all the books of Lee Strobel, The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, Case for a Creator, and even Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And there's another book called The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism by Timothy Keller. And then the one that the boys are covering right now for their homeschooling is called World Religions and Cults by Bodhi Hodge and Roger Patterson. It's so good. And then also another book that they're going through is Answers in Genesis, Volumes 1-4 by Ken Ham. So I also had to be creative about finding resources that would help them to answer their more technical questions about science, about what are the other world religions out there, Mom? And we should study them so that we know very objectively if Christianity really makes sense. And I appreciated where they're coming from, that the inquiry and the desire to really make sure that they can stake their life on something that is believable. Because I think at the end of the day, all of us want that, right? We want to be able to frame our lives and make choices and move forward based on truth. And whether it's for our kids or for ourselves, I think we owe it to ourselves and our kids owe it to themselves also to really seek out the answers to those questions.
Right. And I think that's why the Bible tells us also, right, that be prepared to have an answer for the questions you might have in 1 Peter. It also talks about how we must speak the truth in love. And when you say it like that, I see those words with fresh eyes, where when it says speak the truth in love, the whole principle is, if we were to choose between those two, you obviously want to start a loving relationship first. And in the context of that loving relationship, then you can build truth for those who don't know it, or in our kids' case, for them to be able to reinforce it, right? I think that is important, as you're calling out, right? We know of people who, well, I've given examples already earlier, so I'm not going to over-explain.
No, but that's a great point, honey, because I will only believe what you are saying and trust you and even receive whatever truth you're communicating to me if I trust you,
yes.
Right? And how can I trust you, right, if I don't even know you, mm-hmm, and you don't even know me?
Or that's not apparent. You don't seem to be interested in me.
Right.
Like, you don't seem to care about me, right?
So I mean, it's just like in marriage, right?
Yeah.
Why would I even believe when you say that I'm committed to you, hon, and I will love you forever?
Right.
And, you know, I really only have eyes for you if I don't see the evidence, or if you're not actively pursuing me even in our marriage now and really being intentional about demonstrating how much you love me. So that just makes me want to listen to you more. It makes me want to be with you. It makes me want to accept the things that you're saying. So it's the same thing with our kids. So, but we've talked about this in the previous podcast about building relationships.
Right. So that's a plug to watch all the other podcasts, modeling, etc. So as we wrap up, we wanted to try something different in this particular podcast and just hit straight on a specific thing and try to keep it a little bit shorter, and we'll see how you guys respond. If you like it, please let us know. But the point that we wanted to share, and really from our hearts, fresh from these experiences, is that it's so important that we are available to be able to have these hard questions answered by our kids. It's very important that...
For our kids.
Have answers for our kids. Yes, thank you, honey. It's very important that we focus on the relationship, so that in that context of the relationship, that love, then, you know, as Eden beautifully shared, and when Joy shared this to me, I'll be honest, I also got teary-eyed. And I sought him out. I said, Eden, I want to hug you. I want to tell you that I love you. And thank you for reminding us, you know, that this is what really is powerful. So as we do that, we do not neglect the truth. We need to make sure that we continue to give them these anchors.
And we're living out the truth.
And we're living them out so that they see it and it is consistent. So thank you again for joining us on another episode of
Family Unboxed.
We hope this has been helpful. Please catch the other podcasts that we'll be doing in the next episodes and listen back the other episodes. From season one, there's quite a bunch of stuff we've talked about there. And, you know, if you're following any of our social media accounts, please let us know what you like, what you think we can improve on, and the topics you want us to be able to cover for this particular podcast. So thanks, everybody. See you guys later. Bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.